Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Food Flow, the podcast dedicated to the in-depth exploration of the beautiful world of food. My name is Ivor Margerison from thefoodflow.com, and I am joined today by a biosolid aficionado and research associate professor at the University of Washington, Dr. Sally Brown. Sally, great to have you on the show.
And good morning, Ivor.
So today the topic is biosolids, sometimes referred to as sewage sludge or humanure. We're going to be talking about kind of what it is, some of the issues and concerns with its usage, and its potential to possibly help improve agricultural sustainability. So Sally, before we go any further, can you just give us what is biosolids? Like, what's the 101 intro version to the topic?
So this is something that most people never think about. This is something that most people never want to think about. When you take a shower, when you flush your toilet, when you wash your dishes, all that dirty water goes someplace. And the only reason most people think about it is when the place it goes is the wrong place, namely in your basement or backing up in your bathroom. However, every city has municipal wastewater treatment plant, and the task of that plant is to take that water that you make dirty and separate the solids from the liquid. Now, what is dirty to you is a feast in many ways, depending on who your endpoint is. So it used to be, back before the Clean Water Act, that water was not treated much at all and was just basically dumped into lakes and streams. And what was bad about that was that water is chock full of carbon, the food you didn't eat, the food your body couldn't process. It's full of nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus. So when you added it to a water body, all the algae in that water body went crazy. And they were eating like nuts, and that took away all the dissolved oxygen from the water and turned that water slimy green because you had that feast of the algae that went crazy. And so the Clean Water Act said, we got to take all this excess food and take it out of the rivers and streams. We got to make sure that our wastewater plants really separate the nutrients and the carbon from the water and release pure water or as close to it as they can into streams. And that ended up making a whole pile of solid material every day at every wastewater plant. Now, the people at EPA that made these regs realized that while this is too much of a good thing for a river or a stream, if you add these materials to soil, you're adding everything that soil needs to be a better soil. It adds nutrients, it adds the carbon, and the carbon gives it structure. Soil organic matter is a wonderful thing, and the nutrients are what plants need to grow. And so the whole concept of using these treated wastewater solids as a soil amendment came back into play in the U.S. pretty much starting with the Clean Water Act in 1972. This is a long-standing practice, starting with the use of night soil in Asia from thousands of years ago. So this is just, biosolids are centralized, treated, municipal, regulated version of something that has been used as a soil amendment for many, many hundreds, if not thousands of years.
Well, I think that's an interesting point, that the use of it traditionally in agricultural societies, because when you kind of research it and look into it, it seems like this kind of newfangled issue. But I mean, humans have been finding a way to work these nutrients back into the soil for thousands of years. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. And so the history of its use, I mean, it's been going on for a while. And so what's kind of the craziness about it? Like, I know, I mean, USDA organic doesn't allow it. So, do the issues have warrant? Are there some problems with it?
So first of all, realize that we're here talking about something that comes from the primary ingredient, as far as most people are concerned, is their poop.
Right.
People are not so comfortable with this. It's smelly, it's gross, and you know you need to wash your hands. So you know there's something scary about it. And untreated human waste and untreated animal waste, if you're exposed to it, it can make you sick. And I think that's where a lot of the basic aversion to this whole topic comes from. The other part of it is very few of us these days have grown up on a farm, and particularly on a farm where you have animals. And it used to be in the old McDonald days that a lot of people were very familiar with how to grow food. And in fact, my mom tells stories of growing up in Brooklyn, New York, and her mom used to make her go out with her late at night because there were still horses on the streets, very common in Brooklyn, and they would pick up the horse manure to use in the garden.
Well, I think that's a great point, because what people kind of forget is that animal manure, animal waste, has been used and is still very common. I mean, in organic agriculture, a lot of agricultural farms rely almost exclusively on manure. So it's funny that we are so accepting of other animals and so deterred by the idea of human waste. But I think the question might come, one of the issues, what about pharmaceuticals? I mean, if I take a bunch of pills and they go in the toilet.
Let me take a few steps back here. So the big difference, and this is what's foremost in a lot of people's mind, is that in addition to just the stuff that goes in the toilet bowl, we have other stuff that we flush down the toilet that goes into the biosolids, as well as there are industries and cities that also discharge into the wastewater plant. Mm. So there was a concern when the organics rule was being made at USDA that because it wasn't just humanure going into the biosolids, that could we really call this organic? And so it was not a scientific decision to keep biosolids out. In fact, they were in the original form of the rule. It was a political decision to keep them out. And so then there's that basis. And so now we go to the whole issue of, so what's really in these materials, and is it more than just the carbon and nutrients, and is there a reason to be concerned? And so realize that industries now are very tightly regulated by what they can discharge into a sewer system. And every municipality, the same way that they all have treatment plants, they all have a division within the wastewater department that whose job it is to check and make sure that whatever industries are in a municipality, they are adhering to their permit. That means that they're only putting into the sewer what they are allowed to put into the sewer. And so then the issue becomes what's happening in the homes. Then there's the whole issue of pharmaceuticals, because whenever we take a pill, a very significant portion of the meds in that pill don't end up in our bodies. They typically end up in our pee. So something between 10 and 70% of every type of med we take shows up in our urine and goes to the wastewater plant. Things like if you use antibacterial soap, that starts, the chemicals in that start showing up in your urine within half an hour after you take that shower.
Oh, wow.
So realize that the biggest way you get exposed to these chemicals is in your own house.
Okay, interesting.
So, yeah, so these things end up in the biosolids and you can find them, but realize that we're really good at detecting things in parts per billion or parts per trillion levels. Now, a part per billion is a penny in $1 million.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a good perspective.
Yeah. Now, also realize that if you are like me and you use biosolids-based products for your home garden, and I'm very fortunate because I have access to these. I like Tagro, which is made in Tacoma. I also like Groco. These are both biosolids blended with wood. One case composted, the other cured. And they grow onions, potatoes, tomatoes like nobody's business. But we did a risk assessment, and it would take me over 100,000 years of gardening twice a week for the entire year to get the same amount of exposure to an antibiotic as if I took a pill. So working with these biosolids-based garden products, while you can detect some of these compounds in the biosolids, they're there at such low concentrations that you're talking hundreds of thousands of years, in some cases millions of years, to get the same amount of exposure as you get by taking a pill or washing your hands.
Now, you're talking about exposure via touching the soil, or are you talking about exposure via eating the tomatoes that you grow with the biosolids?
I'm actually talking about pretty much eating the biosolids themselves. We looked in the literature to see about plant uptake, and if you read the papers where they're just adding biosolids to the soil and not spiking that biosolids with chemicals or not spiking a nutrient solution with those chemicals, you don't see any taken up into the plant parts that you can eat.
Interesting.
When I did the lit review for this 2 years ago, I couldn't find any studies where they were actually putting biosolids on the ground and seeing how much came into the plant. In fact, I found a number of studies that showed that none of the stuff came into the plant. I'm not talking about roots. You don't eat the roots of a tomato plant. You eat the tomato part of the tomato plant.
What about a potato where you are kind of eating the root?
Yeah, nothing.
No,
there's
okay.
One study out of Canada where they looked at 110 different pharmaceuticals and personal care products in a home garden setting and didn't find any uptake.
Wow.
Yeah. So a lot of this is people being afraid of stuff they can't control and not wanting to be exposed to things that they don't deliberately choose to be exposed to, but it's just not there. So then the issue is, can it absorb through your skin if you touch the soil? And think of a penny in $1 million finding its way into your pocket.
Right.
By you touching the soil, it doesn't happen. So the main exposure is if you end up with soil on your potato when you bake it and eat the skin, or if you eat the carrot right out of the ground without washing it, just wiping it down.
Interesting. And to be clear, biosolids, other than organic agriculture, they are being used. How common are they in conventional agricultural systems?
So we use about 50 to 60% of the biosolids that we generate. Each person makes about 30 kilograms worth of dry biosolids every year.
Wow.
So about 60 pounds. Of that, a little over half is being used. The vast majority of it is being used for things like field corn and wheat. So it's not something that's being used on your strawberries.
Oh, right. Is it popular for things, crops that aren't being eaten, like, I mean, cotton and golf course fertilizing and things like that? Is that popular?
Now you're getting to make me sound more technical than you'd likely want. So the main job of a wastewater treatment plant is to kill the pathogens that come in the wastewater. Now, to use the solids, the pathogens in the solids, about 95 to 99% of the pathogens have to be killed before a municipality is allowed to put those solids on land. If not all the pathogens are killed, but only 95 to 99% of the pathogens are killed, that is called Class B biosolids. It can only be used on agronomic crops like cotton, like wheat, like field corn.
If
you kill 100% of the pathogens, then I can use it in my strawberries and tomatoes.
Okay.
And so in a farmer. So in the Northwest, we use most of the biosolids produced in Washington State get used for dryland wheat fertilization. And what we've seen in our studies is it improves the soil and the soil carbon so much that yields are about 20% higher than when you use just fertilizer alone. So if you use biosolids instead of fertilizer, you get more wheat.
Interesting.
Which is a really nice thing. Now, we have one municipality, Tacoma, that makes only Class A material. Tacoma decided they wanted to have more community gardens than any city in the country. And one of the ways they're trying to make that happen is every community garden there has access to as much Tagro as they want.
Oh,
and
wow.
The gardens are going crazy.
Wow.
The plants in the gardens are doing exceptionally well. And the gardeners are also doing well. So,
well, it's cool to hear. I mean, because what it sounds like, It's this massive resource that we have. And it's also, I think a lot of people don't quite understand the nutrient cycle. I mean, the fact that there's nutrients in the soil, and when we take food from the soil, the nutrients are essentially exported from the soil. We eat them, and then the nutrients come back out of us. And when you look at that cycle, the biosolids need to go somewhere. And you read about some of the people who are really against it, and I'm kind of curious what they want us to do, like ship all of our human waste full of nitrogen to the moon or something. It's kind of interesting, I mean, it's the
Well,
natural cycle for them to get back into the soil, I guess, right?
yeah, and so what people that work with wastewater often joke about these people that say, no, make it go away, is that we should give them all corks. So they, on a personal level, reduce their contributions.
I mean, other. So I'm curious. I mean, a lot of people maybe saw The Martian. What's the reality of that? If I'm stuck on Mars, can I grow my own potatoes to feed myself and my own waste?
Well, I have a picture, and I write a column for a magazine called BioCycle, and I did a whole column, me versus Matt Damon, and one of the potatoes I grew last year was over 2 pounds, so we carved it for Thanksgiving, in addition to the turkey. But anyway, so yeah, what you'd want to do is you, and this is true, and this is okay. When you first pee, your urine is pathogen free. Depending on how much water you drink, you typically want to dilute your urine by about 5 to 1 with water, and you can put it directly on your plants, and you'll see them turn not green with slime, but green as in healthy green. So there's a lot of research actually on using straight urine as a fertilizer. It has a lot of nitrogen and a lot of phosphorus. For your feces, you want to make sure you kill the pathogens before you use it directly. So you can use it on kinds of plants that you're not going to, like, where it's not having any potential to touch the part you're going to eat.
Like
So,
my avocado tree.
yeah, or avocado tree, corn plant, but not your potatoes or carrots.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay,
And
so
that's why, you can't trust people. First of all, in Brooklyn, not everybody's going to have their half acre plot. So you need, in a city, you need a centralized system to take care of all of this. But one of the reasons you have these regs is because people, the regulators want to make sure that these materials are being used properly. If you do a good job at home, you can do it too, but realize untreated, they can make you sick.
So there is, so I guess the there is some potential issues, but it sounds like, I mean, your professional opinion of it is that where we stand currently, it's not really a matter of it making biosolids better or safer. It's more of just kind of fighting a public perception. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest issues currently.
Yeah, so the other thing to realize is when biosolids come out of treatment, they typically look gross. They typically look like smelly, jiggly mud. And you don't want to stick your hand in smelly, jiggly mud, even if it's safe, unless you're really a serious 3-year-old toddler. Then smelly, sticky mud probably sounds like a great idea. So what more and more cities are starting to do, and here I'm talking about Washington, D.C. and Chicago as examples, are making that sticky, smelly mud as the core ingredient to a product that you would be very happy to stick your hands in, even if you're Martha Stewart or an avid home gardener. So composting is one way, blending the biosolids with sawdust and sometimes aged woody materials. City of Chicago is now composting their biosolids with the wood waste from the city to make a really nice material. So it has, the traditional roles of wastewater have been to keep people safe and keep water clean. And more now they're starting to realize that they are really also resource, or they can be resource recovery facilities, and to really understand and appreciate the benefits of the resource, they have to make it something that's more like a product than a smelly, jiggly mud.
Right. The marketing side of it. And I had a professor during my undergrad who told me a story. He was working with biosolids, and and they were doing it on like a test plot, or they were going to put them on some field, and they were going to run them through like a sprinkler system, I guess, like through
Yeah,
an
'cause that's
irrigation system.
very wet. Yeah.
And so they ran the irrigation system the first time, and they were just running water through to like test out the system. And they started getting all these calls from people who were like, "It's as bad as we thought. It smells horrible." And they're like, because people don't like the idea of their own poop going near their food, I guess. But I think you've certainly made the case that there's some benefits to it, and it'll be interesting to see where the movement kind of goes as, like you said, the municipalities and things are doing some marketing and making it a little more user friendly.
Yeah, people should check out the DC Water Program has just branded their biosolids. It's called Bloom now. So you can look. They have a great website. King County, where I live in Seattle, has, of course, the best website. Their biosolids, they call it Loop, which sounds a lot like poop for your soil. And their tagline is Turn Your Dirt Around. And they have a great website with a lot of wonderful videos as well.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah, I think that kind of wraps things up for today. It's definitely an interesting topic, one that people kind of get a little skittish about, but once you start thinking about it, I think it's really interesting. And like you said, the sustainability of it, the potential it has for soil health, it's fascinating. It really is.
Well, I'm glad you think so. Thanks.
Yeah, Sally, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Okay. Bye-bye, Ivor.
Once again, guys, that was Dr. Sally Brown from the University of Washington. My name is Ivor Margerison from thefoodflow.com. If you're interested in some of the other projects I have going on, I got some more podcast episodes. The apparel line is now launched. Head over to the website, check it out. Lots of good stuff. I'll see you guys next time.